This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Now Allah says to him, قَالَ إِنِّي جَاعِلُكَ لِلنَّاسِ إِمَامًا. I am going to make you a leader over all people. I'm going to make you a leader over all people. Imama, you're going to be ahead of all people. By the way, am I going to make you a leader for the Israelites or the Arabs or the people? Which one? What does that mean? Which people? All people. This was important for the Israelites to hear, because when they think of Abraham, they claim him for who? Themselves. And Allah is telling us from the very beginning that He is to be a leader and a role model for all of humanity. Which is why the house that He was going to build and going to raise the foundations of was not going to be a house for the Arabs or the house for the Jews. It was going to be a house for humanity. وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنَا لِلنَّاسِ, for all people. This is the universal, this is, you know, a universal message of Ibrahim alayhi salam. So now Ibrahim alayhi salam is told, I'm making you a leader over all of humanity. And the genius of Ibrahim alayhi salam is, immediately he understands that maybe may sound like an award, but it's a massive responsibility. When you get a high profile job, if somebody applies for a high profile job and they get it, it's a real honor to get a job. But you know what? The higher the profile the job is, the more responsibility you have, isn't it? So as the congratulations is there, mashallah, you're CEO now, you're head of this department, head of that department, but immediately, if you're truly qualified for the job, you'll celebrate less and worry a lot more. Because man, this is a huge responsibility. This is no small task. You understand? So immediately, Ibrahim alayhi salam switches over to the concern. Oh, by the way, I'm still in section two, so remove the third, okay? So he's been made leader over all people. He understands that leadership means that you are answerable for everybody under you. How many people here work in management? Management? Okay, good, a number of you. If your team messes up, the executive over you is not going to yell at your team. Who's he going to yell at? He's going to yell at you. You're responsible for the people under you. Isn't that the case? Get it done. I don't want to hear excuses. And when you go before your manager and start complaining about your team, this one didn't do this, that one didn't do that, you're not a good manager. Your job as a manager is to take the hits for who? Your team. And then you have to go back and make sure they do work and they're cultivated and they do their job right. You have to take care of your team. That's what a manager does. There's no greater manager, by the way, than a messenger. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Any of them. They have to take responsibility for their ummah. وَكَيْفَ إِذَا جِئْنَا مِنْ كُلِّ أُمَّةٍ بِشَهِيدٍ وَجِئْنَا بِكَ عَلَى هَؤُلَاءِ شَهِيدًا. Allah will make the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam stand witness over his own people, how they fared. So when the Messenger Ibrahim alayhi salam is told he's being made a leader, he gets really worried. And he understands first and foremost that he's being made leader over his children. And he understands that because he didn't have much of a following. He didn't have huge ummas behind him. Very few people believed in him. So he knows his primary responsibility is to who? His children. So Allah says to him, I'm making you a leader over all of humanity. And he says, what about my kids? وَمِن ذُرِّيَّتِي? And out of my children, and their children's children, and their children's children's children. The idea that you and I have to think 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 generations ahead is a legacy of Ibrahim alayhi salam. Dhurriya, not awlad. Awlad is your kids. Dhurriya is your great, 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 great grandkids. I'm not just concerned about the institutions that are helping Muslims today. I have to think about what Islam is going to look like 100 years from now, 200 years from now, in the United States. What's it going to look like? We have to think like that from now. And who teaches us this thinking? Ibrahim alayhi salam. We call ourselves the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam. We have to learn to think like him. Receiving an honor is not enough. Having a position of leadership is not enough. You can have leadership today and it can be gone tomorrow. He's thinking immediately about the future. Now notice also that Ibrahim alayhi salam is one of the most grateful human beings that has ever lived on the face of this earth. شَاكِرًا لِأَنْعُمِهِ. Quran itself describes, of the messengers that he describes, but so many great qualities, when he describes Ibrahim alayhi salam, he describes him as someone constantly grateful. Constantly grateful. And I would think the greatest blessing Allah has given him is telling him, you have passed all of your tests. Now you get to be the leader and role model for all humanity. At this great favor, instead of saying, Alhamdulillah, Ya Rabbi, Alhamdulillah, Ya Allah, you have given me such an honor, it's such a blessing. First thing, Ya Allah, this is a responsibility before this is a blessing. What about my kids? Before even thanking Allah, He's worried about his kids. Min dhurriyati. And by the way, has Ibrahim alayhi salam done small things or big things for Allah? Bigger than anybody else in history. Bigger than anybody else. And the more you do for Allah, the more you're in a position to ask, isn't it? Follow along with what I'm saying. The more you do for Allah, the better a position you are in to ask. When you do Hajj, you make extra du'as, yes or no? Yeah, you don't make extra du'as after watching a movie though. When you do stuff for Allah, then you feel you're in a position to ask. When you mess up, then you feel you just ask for forgiveness and try not to do it again. Isn't that the case? Ibrahim alayhi salam, I would argue, after finishing all of those tests, is in a pretty ideal position to ask Allah, wouldn't you say? And the first thing he asked Allah was for what? His future generations. I would think, since he asked, and he is the Khalil of Ar-Rahman, he is the beloved friend, the intimate friend of Allah, Allah is going to say, of course. Allah says, La yanalu ahdi al-zalimin. It is a cold response. It is a harsh response. The response is, my guarantee, my promise does not extend to wrongdoers. He didn't ask to help wrongdoers. Who did he ask that should have leadership? Who should have leadership? His children should have leadership. And Allah says, I don't guarantee to who? Wrongdoers. What is Ibrahim alayhi salam being told? Unfortunately, some of your kids are going to be what? Wrongdoers. And my guarantee does not go to them. He does not even say, if they do wrong, then I am not guaranteeing you anything. Because if he said, if, there would be a possibility that they're wrongdoers, but maybe it's going to happen and maybe it's not going to happen. But when he says, wrongdoers, I don't guarantee, it's as though Allah is guaranteeing him that there are some of your kids that are going to be doing what? Wrong. And they're not going to be worthy of what? Now here's the key question. What will they not be worthy of? Leadership. Up until now, when this ayah is coming down, who believed that they were entitled to leadership? Bani Israel, very good. And they considered themselves children of Ibrahim alayhi salam, didn't they? And so they believe they're entitled to leadership. In this one ayah, Allah has already justified why the leadership needs to switch. Because my guarantee does not extend to who? Wrongdoers. Wrongdoers. But Ibrahim alayhi salam doesn't know that. Now he's in shock. My kids are going to be wrongdoers. This is a pretty traumatic thing. So now Ibrahim alayhi salam, now we're going to move on to part three. He doesn't say anything more. Allah switches the subject. Allah starts talking about the Kaaba itself. And He says a few things to us. He says, وَإِذْ جَعَلْنَا الْبَيْتَ مَثَابَةً لِلنَّاسِ وَأَمْنًا. When we made the house a place that you will find, you know, return, the heart will want to return to it. Thaba in Arabic, a really cool word. Thaba bima'na raja'a ba'da dhahabihi. When you leave somewhere and you want to come back to it, and you want to go back to it again, and you want to go back to it again, then that place becomes a mathaba to you. So the word mathaba is used in the ayah to suggest that once you see the Kaaba, what do you want? You want to go back again, and you want to go back again, and you want to go back again, and you want to go back again. Just the sight of it gives you this peace. It gives you this tranquility that you can't describe. The Arabic language uses the word al-thawab or al-thawab for al-nahl. It uses it for the bee, because the bee keeps coming back, right? It goes all over the place, and then at the end of the day, it comes back. Almost as a matter of survival, it has to come back to its own nest. So it's like the human being, the believer, is going to have this desire to keep coming back to that place. Thaba ilayhi jismuhu salaha badanuhu. Thaba is also used for restoration. Mathaba, a place where people will be restored. I will go to the Kaaba broken, sad, depressed, angry, frustrated, low in iman. I haven't cried in years. And then I'm going to stand in front of that place and I'm going to look at these walls and nobody's given me a khutbah, nobody's given me a speech. I don't even know what this means, but I don't know why I'm crying. And I don't know why I feel a peace I've never felt before. I can't even explain it to anybody else. It's this out-of-body experience. That's the word mathaba. Allah says, when we made the house a mathaba, a place where they can be restored. They can be restored. Guys, some of you, mashallah, are from well-off families. After all, you live in Plano, which means you can afford good vacations. If you can, take your kids to Umrah instead of taking them to Hawaii. I know it's not as good weather. You know, it's almost as pretty. No, it's not pretty at all. I mean, I keep saying this. Look at the place Allah chose for His house. He could have chosen like the Fiji Islands. He could have chosen California. He could have chosen, like, you know, a place where you go, mashallah, the Kaaba is there, but there's also a nice beach there, and, you know. He chose this one place, where if it wasn't for this building, there is absolutely no sane reason for you to go there. You certainly don't go there for the weather. You don't go there for the scenery, and you definitely don't go there for the people. I mean, you know, I'm sorry. Have you met the cab drivers? I mean, so, why do you go there? You go there for this one reason and one reason alone. Allah made this place, He chose a place on the earth that almost guarantees sincerity. You cannot have two intentions for going. It's very hard. He made it really hard, subhanAllah. It breaks my heart though that it's becoming the capital of luxury hotels in the world. You know? There are actually Business Week articles on how it's actually defeating the hotel industry in Vegas by far. Right? So that's it's a sad state because now there are alternative reasons, right? It's a status symbol, it's other things. May Allah protect us ummah. You know? The place was chosen for a reason. It's clear. It's very evident why it was chosen. And it's also very evident that 1400 years of this ummah and we didn't develop that place. You notice that? Baghdad, pretty developed ancient city. You know, Damascus, incredible art infrastructure. You know, Istanbul, incredible infrastructure. When you go to Mecca, what infrastructure do you see? Water tanks on top of buildings. You know, you don't see ancient infrastructure. And there's a reason, we preserved it. We kept it the way it was because we wanted it to be, you know, not turn into some other reason for which people should come here. But that's changing, subhanAllah. Anyway, so in this discussion, when Allah says to him, my promise doesn't guarantee or extend to the wrongdoers, and Allah says, then we made the house a place where people's heart will become soft. He says, وَاتَّخِذْ وَأَمْنًا, and a place to find peace. We made it peace itself. Amn actually means to feel secure, to feel safe. What Allah is describing is not a place that is amin, peaceful, but peace itself. You know what that means? That a person who lays their eyes on the house of Allah that was built with the du'as of that man, Ibrahim alayhi salam, those du'as have some radioactive effect in that area, that when you lay your eyes on it, you will experience what you will only describe as peace itself, like you've never felt before. You'll feel safer and more secure and more cared for by Allah azza wa jal than you've ever felt in your entire life. And you can't get enough of it. You just can't get enough of it, you know? If I can just find us somewhere to sit and recite Quran, and every couple of seconds I can look up to Allah's house again, the one that my father built, I'll be happy. If I can just find a spot, you know? That's what Allah will do. This is what Allah put inside our hearts. That feeling that you get is not taught in Sunday school. That cannot be taught through a textbook. That feeling that you get is still echoes of the dua of Ibrahim alayhi salam. It's echoes of the promise and the guarantee Allah gave to that man alayhi salatu wasalam. Now just put yourself in that state. When he is at that place, and we're going to get to those ayat. When he's at that place, there's nothing there. There's nothing there. There's not even an audience. There's no thousands or millions of people wanting to come, you know, saving their life savings to go make hajj. Nothing. It's just him. And yet this dua made in the loneliness, where there's not even a recorder out there, huh? There's not even an audio voice recorder. No video camera, nothing. And those words are preserved without an audience by Allah Himself. And we're still shaking by those words. The power of dua in this passage, subhanAllah. Allah says, وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى. And make sure that you make from the station of Ibrahim, make sure you make it a place to pray. Maqam Ibrahim, right? So Allah is making reference to Maqam Ibrahim near the Haram. You guys know what we're talking about here, right? Allah switches over and starts talking about the importance of this grand house. وَاتَّخِذُوا مِن مَقَامِ إِبْرَاهِيمَ مُصَلَّى وَعَهِدْنَا إِلَىٰ إِبْرَاهِيمَ وَإِسْمَعِيلَ أَن طَهِّرَ بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. I'm going to stop at this ayah, but I'll explain this part and I'll give you guys your next break. Ibrahim alayhi salam is then told that Allah took a promise. We took a promise from Ibrahim along with Ismail. Now who is Ismail to Ibrahim? His son. Which means Allah took a sacred promise from Abraham and his son, Ishmael. This is very unacceptable to which community? To the Jewish community, because the promise of God does not come to Abraham and Ishmael. If anything, it should come to Abraham and Isaac. And through him, Jacob, which means Israel. So wait, this promise? We don't get it. By the way, Ismail is just mentioned. A couple of ayat ago, which nation did Allah address? The Israelites. And the Israelites rejected the Prophet because of what? They are children of Ismail. And Allah now makes sure He tells them, first thing you need to hear is that my promise was actually originally made as he was building the house with Ibrahim and his Arab lineage, Ismail alayhi salam. And I took a promise with them. What will they do? أَنْطَهِّرَا بَيْتِيَ لِلطَّائِفِينَ وَالْعَاكِفِينَ وَالرُّكَّعِ السُّجُودِ. That both of you are going to purify my house for people who make tawaf. You guys know what that is. People who make i'tikaf. You guys know what i'tikaf is? When you stay devoted inside the masjid and worship, you're going to make this house dedicated so people can worship Allah and Allah alone. وَالرُّكَّعِ. And you're going to make this house dedicated for people who make ruku' as-sujood. The people who make ruku' sujood. Sujood is what? Going down on the ground. Now this, tawaf, i'tikaf, ruku' sujood, are these parts of Islam today? Fundamental parts of Islam, aren't they? They're central parts of Islam. And these four things, why are they being highlighted? Because the one who will restore this legacy is the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The Jews had actually lost sajda. They had lost tawaf because they had even lost sight of the Kaaba. They had completely forgotten about it, even though Musa alayhi salam himself knew it. Musa alayhi salam was very familiar with the Kaaba. But they forgot about it, you know. And if you don't have the right Kaaba, you don't have the reverence for it anymore, and your sajda is gone, then basically you've only taken bits and pieces of this religion. The whole thing has to be restored again. What we're learning again is that Rasul sallallahu alayhi salam's job is to restore the work of his father, Ibrahim alayhi salam. His mission, his entire mission, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, is actually to finish what his father started. By the end of his life, he just made this prayer that I pray that one of my offspring comes and finishes this, basically. And there comes the messenger, sallallahu alayhi wasallam. We are proudly the religion of Ibrahim alayhi salam.